preface. It's so important that you know that I was raised in a lower middle class family, and no one in my extended family was wealthy or even came close to that. And I had such big dreams and lots of ambition growing up, but my desires came to a halt when it required money. Anytime it required money, my dreams had to stop. As a teenager, I worked on a small farm in the morning, and in the evenings, I worked at a restaurant. The manager of the restaurant degraded me so badly during my shifts that I would always leave work feeling like I was hopeless and worthless. After weeks of entering work with a knot in the pit of my stomach, it got to the point where I just couldn't take the unwarranted verbal abuse any longer. And one night, after he had been name-calling me, I plucked up enough courage to get in his face and scream, "I quit." This was a critical moment that defined the rest of my life. And it happened when I was only 16 years old. Younger than most making this decision, I made a promise to myself. I promised myself I would never work for anyone else ever again. But I knew I still needed to make money. I had car payments, I had expenses, and I think back then I had a beeper, not a cell phone. I wanted spending money for traveling because my biggest dream was to become a pro snowboarder. And to travel around to the snowboarding events, it took money. And unlike my friends, I didn't have the leisure of asking mom for 20 bucks whenever I wanted. After tossing around a few ideas in my mind, I decided I was going to start a clothing line out of my basement. I knew there was an opportunity to make money, and I knew that I could sell the line to skateboard and snowboard shops all along the competitions that I entered. I never forgot coming home after work that night and telling my mom about my grandiose idea. I not only had her support, but she also became one of my seamstresses. I called the new apparel line Fat Clothing Company, and that was PH, just so you know. It blended my love of snowboarding with my need for income harmoniously. I was able to start Fat Clothing Company with a $500 loan from the bank, and it was backed by a dream. That small clothing line would soon turn out to be Western New York's most well-known chain of skateboard snowboard shops called Fat Man Board Shops. Now, many years later, after the recession in the early 2000s, I was forced to get a second job, and it landed me in the financial services industry. What started as a temporary part-time job turned out to be something that I just loved. In my first year, I'd made $76,000. That was more money than I'd made in all the years of owning the board shops. I consolidated all my retail stores down to two locations by 2006. I franchised Fat Man Board Shops and sold one of the two stores. Now, that enabled me to focus more time on my financial advisory business, which was doing extremely well. I remained a licensed financial advisor with many accreditations until I sold my book of business in 2018. Now, just to kind of give you a little piece of that, in 2006, I was doing really well as a financial advisor, and I decided I was going to flip some houses. So I started my first flip. By 2007, I finished that first flip. And in 2008, I decided to purchase a dilapidated paint store that I was going to convert into my future strip mall. And I was going to make this strip mall the home to Fat Man Board Shop's premier store. And that was going to be my first commercial development project and, again, the future home of Fat Man. Now, this was a crazy idea because I had to borrow over $300,000 from a group of hard money lenders to make this happen. This was my very first experience with hard money lenders, and it proved to be a really hard lesson. Halfway through the renovations, the 2008 market downturn, the Great Recession started. And I was quickly running out of money to pay those lenders the insane interest payments that I had agreed to. As things worsened with the economy, my financial advisory business came to an almost dead halt. And Fat Man's business and profits dropped 30% overnight. I was literally months away from going bankrupt. Now, I'm not the type of person to believe in luck, but what happened next was as close to luck as I've ever seen. I managed to rent the other three units in the plaza, and because the plaza was occupied, I was able to get a local community bank to refinance the deal, and that allowed me to pay off those hard money lenders. Thank God for this, because those lenders were the type of people that would not only have foreclosed on the property, they probably would have taken off a few of my fingers if I defaulted on that loan. In 2009, I got back at it. I was buying rundown apartment buildings for pennies on the dollar. This guy Warren Buffett always says, buy low, sell high, and don't lose money. So that's exactly what I did. I started buying these buildings. And by 2014, I built up a rental portfolio of 36 units. It was an awesome, awesome feeling. This would seem like a dream come true. And in reality, I was so broke. I literally had to come home one night after a long day, after struggling. I had to ask my girlfriend, and that was my girlfriend at the time. She's now my wife. I had to ask her to help me pay the mortgage payments on my house. Then I had to ask her to help me pay the utility bills. And then I had to break it to her that we're going to have to rent out one of the rooms in my house because I couldn't make it. So in 2010, I decided to sell Fat Man. I sold my dream business off, and it freed up time and it helped me fund these future real estate ventures. Larissa and I even had to sell our big, beautiful dream house that we treasured so much because we needed more money to keep this machine going. Now, you know, in life, sometimes you have to make big decisions. You got to look at your dreams, your goals, and where you're going, and you got to make hard decisions. And selling this house was one of the hardest decisions that we ever had to make. We had to make very difficult decisions, which included living in one of our apartment buildings and living extremely frugal to get where we are today. We had to tell our friends, no, I'm sorry, we can't attend, way too often. At that time, we thought the struggle would just never end. But now looking back, it was literally a fraction of time. On a positive note, we never had to claim bankruptcy. And that sacrifice we made, that ensured to us that we could get through anything together. Let's look at where I was financially in a little bit more depth. I had 36 rented units, and I was worth quite a bit of money on paper. So how the heck could I have been broke? The answer is simple. I did not understand how money really worked in real estate. You see, I used banks to fund each one of those deals. That means they gave me 80% of the purchase price, and I had to use my own money to do the renovations, to pay the remaining 20% plus all the closing costs. Every single time I would get a little bit of money, I would dive back into another deal, which would send me deeper and deeper into debt. So in 2014, we sold every one of those properties that we owned. And to my surprise, they were actually profitable. This is when it came to me that I didn't know what I didn't know. There had to be an easier way to get these deals funded. I needed to learn how money really worked. And I needed to gain more knowledge. The knowledge that they don't teach you. The knowledge that you have to seek out. That's what I needed. And I needed to be educated on how the real estate business actually worked. Folks, this is where it all changed. We went ahead, me and Larissa, and we spent $80,000 being educated and mentored by some of the best real estate investors, the people that we looked at that were killing it back then. And we racked up our credit cards. This wasn't easy. We swiped our cards. We paid more money than we had for this education, for this mentorship, because we didn't have money in full. But we could make payments, and we knew we couldn't make it without doing this. We also knew we couldn't turn back once we were committed. Once those cards were swiped, it was go time. Now, today, my wife and I own 8 different companies. We founded Flip Out Academy, which is a results-based education system that focuses on the student's success. We feel that it's not about the education, it's about the application of education. That's what gets you results. And that ended up landing us our own TV show on HGTV called Risky Builders. Along with that, we had a couple of our flips featured on 2 other HGTV shows. We also hold over $8 million in real estate today. We've done well over 250 deals since 2014, and we live the life we used to dream about. The greatest part is that the best is yet to come. I can tell you this, the same can be true for you. But first, you must understand this. Money has and always will be the most important tool you're ever going to use to build the life you want. Let me tell you what I wish I'd learned when I started. Like I mentioned earlier, my first real estate deal was a flip in 2006. At the age of 28, I was doing well. I was doing well as a financial advisor. I owned two profitable retail stores, but I was not in a good financial position by any means, as I was simply just getting by. It wasn't long before a realtor showed up to me and showed me this deal. It looked like a great flip. Based on my, now in hindsight, flawed calculations, I thought I could make $35,000 on this one deal. And at that point in my life, $35,000, that was the sort of money that would be a game changer for us. This deal looked like it was the answer to so many of our problems. The first step was to find financing for the deal. And this proved to be challenging because I had no idea where to look for money to invest in real estate. I decided to take the most logical route, and at this time, I went to the bank and asked for money. This is where I began to realize how difficult this process could be. After a month of back and forth with the necessary documents, all the endless list of tasks that they wanted, I received a commitment letter for far less than I needed. I was under the impression that the bank was going to give me all of the money that I needed, or at least a good chunk of what I needed. But what I found out is I needed to come up with the money for rehab, plus I needed to come up with that 20% and closing cost. I quickly learned this was not going to be an easy situation for me. I found out that banks only lend 80% of the purchase price, not a penny of the cost I would incur for renovating that property. And now I had a dilemma. I had to find the remaining money in only 1 week. So what do you do when that happens? Well, I thought. I sat down and I figured it out. The next idea that came into my head was to ask every single person I knew for money, to ask them if they would loan me money. And you can only imagine where that landed. After hearing the word no way too many times to count, I decided to max out my credit cards and take out loans from my life insurance policies. And that was just enough money for me to revamp and finish this house. Now, after I finished with the renovations, I decided that I was going to rent it out for a year. And then after that, I sold it for a profit. The downside is the profit was only $8,000. Now, that's nowhere near the $35,000 that I was originally expecting. But even though it wasn't even close to my projected profit, it was enough to get me hooked on real estate. And I became extremely motivated to learn how this industry worked in the capacity of flipping houses, creating passive income, and ultimately becoming the bank. When executed properly, real estate has the ability to allow you to further your goals and help you live the life that you've always dreamed of. This is my give back to you. So that you can avoid making the same mistakes I did when I first started out, please know this. I can't elaborate on every single one-off situation since all the deals are structured differently. However, you're soon going to understand the process of money in real estate. And this will guide you through the secrets of money and how to implement what I do within my own deals. Now, folks, I need you to understand this. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not even a simple answer to all of your real estate-related problems. I started with close to nothing, and I've built an empire. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you are in your life, this process will work. However, it will not be easy. And it's going to take time. I believe it is your responsibility to chase your dreams and never, ever let anyone tell you that you can't do the things you want, that you can't have the things that you want. And I'm going to personally give you permission to dream the craziest dreams. And one day, watch those dreams unfold because of your hard work. No matter how old you are, no matter where you're at in life, do not let the fear of money stop you. Remember, money is just a tool.
So, Chris Noggle, how was the experience being a professional snowboarder?
Being a pro snowboarder was the greatest part of my life. Honestly, it was one of those things that being a kid from a small town, Buffalo, New York, where when you tell somebody you want to be a pro snowboarder from Buffalo, they're like, yeah, man, that can't happen. You know, you heard that all the time. People tell you you can't do something. So I set out and I said, you know what, I'm going to do it just because everybody else said I couldn't. And that's what I did. But it required me doing things that I had to literally work harder than anyone else. I had to go out there and do what everybody else was unwilling to do. And when I actually made it, I'll never forget, I won a contest. There happened to be a rep there from one of the big companies, and they came up to me and they said, "We want you to ride for us." And that's where it all started. And like, that was like the greatest victory of my life. And that went on to be the start of my professional snowboarding career, which went well into, I think my last year as a pro snowboarder was at 36. And that's a long time to be a pro snowboarder. So I was early 20s straight through. And the things I did, I mean, everything being a pro snowboarder was about facing fear, was about overcoming your fears inside. Because when you're a pro snowboarder, you just got to leap, man. You just got to go for it. You can't sit there and say, "Well, I don't know if I feel like this today." It's go. And that's how you make it. And that's how you keep progressing. So my snowboarding career literally allowed me to learn how to deal with fear. It allowed me to be better prepared being an entrepreneur. And it literally just allowed me to realize that no matter what your dreams are, no matter how big they are, you just got to go for it.
Being a part of a popular show like Risky Builders, did you get a lot of fan mail from that being on the show? And were people more willing to work with you in the real estate world now that you've become a famous HGTV show guy?
You know, it was funny because going into getting a show on HGTV, everybody thinks, you know, you just send a video out and all of a sudden they call you up and they're like, "Hey, we want you." That's not the way it worked. It was a 4-year journey to get that show on HGTV. And after it aired, you know, it was kind of like the greatest accomplishment, kind of like what it was when I was a pro snowboarder all over again. It was like all that hard work, everything you've worked for, all happening. And when we aired, you're exactly right, you know, people just came out of the woodwork. You know, people were excited for you. People just started reaching out to you, fan mail, you know, emails, social media just blew up. I mean, people were just all over social media. But there was also a lot of haters that came out of that. People that were jealous, people that like we, now they saw that we got the show, you know, all the haters came out. And that was something that me and Larissa were not ready for. We really weren't ready for like a bunch of people coming out that don't even know us, like hating on us because we had a show on HGTV, because we succeeded on something. And that was really difficult, more so for my wife than me, because I was just like, whatever, but that, she took it to heart. So it was cool, but it was a learning lesson nonetheless.
Right on.